Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 21. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. The ones at the back, if you can move a bit to the front, because they're trying to turn down the speaker at the back, because Pastor Ram Sunday School Classes is also hearing our sermon in here. He's running a Zoom Sunday School class in his office, which is way outside the sanctuary. So if we can move to the front a bit, then you can hear a bit better. Or I can shout. Power of submission. Submission is a dirty word. No one wants to be under submission. So there is an office manager, and he always complains about in the staff meeting there about his staff are not respecting him enough. You know, but he's more a soft guy. So one day he brought in a sign and hang it outside his office. The sign says, "I am the boss." Just to remind his staff that he is in charge here. He's the boss. He has to be respected. So he went out for lunch. He came back and then he noticed there's a small note on his door. His secretary put a post-it note on his door, which says, the note says, "Your wife called, he's very mad that you took her side, and she asked you to bring it back after work." We all want to be a boss. We all want to tell people what to do. Most of us do not like listening to people's advice. Even though I'm a pastor at church, I'm supposed to give advice. But I receive more advice than advice I give out, except on Sunday morning that you don't have a choice yet to listen to me. But most of the time, you came to me, they want to give me advice how to run the church, how to do this and do that. And I used to nod the head, I listen, and I try very hard to listen. And then I said, thank you. Very few people came to church actually asked me for advice. That's what I get paid for. So you need to get your money worth. Come and ask me, I give you advice. We all want to be the boss. We want to be in charge. We want to tell people what to do. And the word submission, which is the topic for this morning, is not the kind of word we want to hear, especially in the West. Maybe in Asia, we are a little bit more obedient. But in the West, we are all taught, even when we are a little kid, we are all taught to think independently, give our opinion, speak out. Everybody has the equal right, which is absolutely correct. But this morning, we're going to look at the word submission. Submission is not what you think it is. When I thought of this topic, the first thing when I thought of submission, I think of in the MMA, this multi martial arts, the way you can win the fight. One is to knock the other guy down on the floor that he cannot get up. The other way to win a fight is to put the person into submission. You either choke him, that he cannot stand it anymore. So before he pass out, he tap you, or you twist it, or twisted his arm in such an awkward position that he felt in great pain, then he tapped it out, submission. So when we think of submission, we think of negatively. You know, we are put under submission. We don't want that. We don't like that because we want to be a free person. The scripture that we read this morning, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every institution. NIV translate, I normally use the American Standard Bible, if you see my PowerPoint, but sometimes I pick the NIV. NIV says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. All the human authority, not just some of the authority, but all the authority. Submit is the Greek word hypotasio, to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, put in subjections, to subject oneself. When this term is used in a military sense, is the receiving the order. So when your officer, your superior, you know, tell you to go and attack the enemy, you know, in this direction, you know, you don't argue or you don't give your opinion, I think it's easier to go the other way. It's less dangerous. Or if you are told to go to a certain destination, you don't say that that destination is too risky, you know, let's do it the other way. You don't do that. You don't ask. You just follow, submit to the order from your superior. But when this term hypotasio is used in a non-military sense, it is less scary. It meant a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So when Peter here says that you submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. So how did our God get into this business of submitting to the government, especially if the government is not a godly government? But here the scripture did not differentiate between godly government or a righteous government or an unrighteous government, but submit to all the authorities. Human authorities. He's not talking about church here. He's talking about the human government. And most of us work under somebody, unless you're a dentist, doctor, selling real estate. Certain profession you work for yourself, but I think most of us here work for somebody. At least submitting to your boss, submitting to the authority above you, for the Lord's sake. And this is how the law and order is preserved in a society. The Bible taught a lot about submission. I taught a lot about wife submitting to her husband. I just shared that last month. And I think I spoke on this topic a few times, wife submitting to husband, because I think this is the secret to a harmonious and happy, successful marriage. And children submit to their parents. These are the teachings of the scripture, the Bible. But this morning, I don't think I ever shared this before, is the submission to government, to church authorities. I don't normally like to speak about submitting to church authorities because then you may think that I'm talking about myself. No, yes, now Pastor Norman, our senior pastor, telling us to submit to him. But this is the teaching of the scripture, submitting to your boss, which is hard. So unless the government is giving us rules and laws that's against the Bible, that we should submit to these rules, regulations. If the regulation, the rules, the orders are concerning community development, you know, which way to put the SkyTrain, distribution of resources, social and health benefits, about how to look after ourselves, then we should follow the government's orders. What if the government is not a righteous government? What if the government is an ungodly government? So I'm starting to think, is Canada a Christian country? So just this morning, I Googled this. I just asked this question. The result, Google told me that we have 63.2% of our population claim to be Christians or Catholics. Well, so over half of the population in Canada claim to be Christians, believers of the Bible. So I guess we can call ourselves a Christian country. But you and I here long enough, you all know that we are not exactly very Christian here in Canada. Even though the root of our values are still rooted in Christianity. What if a government is not a godly government, unrighteous government? Do we submit to their authority? Here, the scripture did not say you only submit to a righteous, godly government, but all authorities. In fact, I don't know if we can find a government in the world, even in the West, the Christian countries, that from God's eyes, he will call it a righteous, godly government. Even in the West, even in Canada, U.S., almost all the presidents of the U.S. Were Christians. Did God say that we only submit to a righteous parents? No. We submit respect parents, period. We submit to all authorities so that the law and the order can be preserved. Submit to the emperors. A bit hard to swallow, isn't it? Why do we have to submit to the authorities? Romans 13, 1-2. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So even ungodly government, the authority came from God. Unless you don't believe that God is a sovereign God, he is in control. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. God allowed this government to be established. You look at the Old Testament, most of the time God used an ungodly country to conquer Israel, to rule Israel. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. God instituted human government authority so that we can live in harmony, in peace, and be protected. Even the emperor, Peter mentioned, even the emperor, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor. The emperor of that time, during Peter's time, is Roman Emperor Nero. And anybody who knows a little bit history know that Nero is known for as one of Roman's most infamous rulers, notorious for his cruelty. He killed many Christians. He killed many opponents. And he is not exactly a righteous king. But Peter here said, even respect the emperor. Doesn't seem to make sense, isn't it? But the scriptures order here, it is an order. It's telling us to submit to the human authority unless the rules of the laws is against God. Acts, in the book of Acts, when the government is not allowing the Christians in the book of Acts to preach the gospel, Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than man. They continue to spread the gospel unless the government is giving us orders, not allowing us to pray, to read the scripture, and to do things against God. Then we can say we must obey God rather than man. That's what the disciples did in the book of Acts. We call that they opposed the government 2 times. Daniel was carried off to Babylon in 605 BC. He served under a pagan king, a pagan government. But he submitted to the authority of the government, even though it's an ungodly, a heathen government. He served with submission. But when he was asked to eat food against his belief, he refused to eat the food from a king. And when he was asked not to pray to his God, so what did he do? His windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as usual. So when Daniel served faithfully, he served under 5 kings, starting with Nebuchadnezzar to Cyrus. He served under 5 regimes. They're all ungodly government kings, but he served with submission. But when he was asked to do things against his belief, he did not obey, and he paid the price. He was prosecuted. So what's the function of the church in the society? There are 2 kingdoms in the world. The church's job is to build the kingdom of God. So the church's main function is not to build a government on this earth. Our job as a church is to build up the kingdom of God. And there's a parallel government. The government of the earth, on earth, and this is a secular government. This government is not our focus for the church. But when I say this, I don't mean that we don't involve in this government. No, it's absolutely not what I meant. The church's function is to build up the kingdom of God. But we encourage all our church members, the people of God, to get involved into the secular government. We as Christians should exercise our civil rights. We should go and vote next month, a civic election coming up in Vancouver. So I encourage all of you to study the different parties, and so that we can go and voice out and cast our vote on the government that we think is most closest to the scriptures. And you should even to support parties. We support political parties financially. We should even give money to support. You should even get involved, be a politician. So the church's main function is to build up the kingdom of God. We do not get into political But we encourage our members, every one of you, to go into the society to help to bring the Christian value principles into the earthly government. Quite a few of my friends, classmates, were in politics. They all retired now. But one time I bumped into a good friend of mine from school. He was a politician on the federal level. He's actually a federal MP. He's a Christian. So I bumped into him on the streets. So we talk. We're good old timers. And then I told him, I said that my job is to build up the kingdom of God, serving in the church, spreading the gospel, building God's kingdom. But your job is to bring the principle you learn from church to go and build up a government, hopefully with as much Christian value as you can. So we have our own jobs, but the same purpose. Respect the authority, unless it is against our Christian belief and values. And most of the time, I think the church was left alone, except a few years ago, if you remember, that we tried to get funding for summer students, and for that 1 year, the government changed the rules of the game. They added a statement in there, which we, the church, felt is against our Christian value, and we are asked to sign off that statement. I think if you still remember that, three years ago. I know that some churches signed it. We call the government, we call the members of the parliament, and then we are told a very interesting answer. They said, "Don't worry, just sign it, we will not check it." So I said, "What's the point of signing something that if you're not going to check it? Just sign it. We are not going to follow up on this. You can do whatever you want." But we decided it's against our Christian principle, so we did not sign it. So we did not get the money for free summer students that year. So respect, submit to the authority, unless it's against our Christian principles. Submit to, then the scripture move on. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Fear God, not fear the king. Honor, respect the king. Respect people, agape, the brothers and sisters. But when it comes to God, fear of the Lord. It's a different word here. So at church, we respect everybody. We honor each other, love our brothers and sisters. But in the church, we have to respect authority as well, not just the senior pastor. I know that you all respect pastors, but we have to respect everybody who serves in the church in a different role. Maybe the person is serving in the children ministry. Don't look at the baby. The leaders of the children ministry are babysitters. They are not babysitters. They are given authority by the church, by me, actually, because all the authority in ministry come from the senior pastor. So I funnel this down to the pastors, to deacons, government heads. So everybody has authority serving in the ministry. Everybody is important, and we have to respect each other. When I went to the kids camp last month, I walked in there. I tried to stay away from people, all the leaders, they're all teens, most of the teens. They're all about 15 years old. They're all very young, all wearing name tag. But when I am in the kids camp, I am nobody, because I am not one of the leaders. So I try to stay out of the way. I stay in the corner and just be quiet and watch all the leaders running the soul. Because the church has given those leaders the authority, so we have to respect their authority. If you are, even if you're in charge of the snack, so after the worship, we're going to have snacks in the courtyard. Xu Ping is in charge of the snacks, so you have to respect her. You have to listen to her. So one time, the governor of Massachusetts, Christian Herter, he was working very hard, running around, meeting with people. So one time when he was working outside his office, meeting people, he got tired and hungry. So he walked by a church. So he saw that there's a barbecue, like most churches, they love a barbecue, like our church. So he saw a barbecue there, and then he knows that usually barbecue, if you're a newcomer, you're free. So he walked in there and lined up, so being a good citizen. So he lined up for the barbecue. But he was really hungry that afternoon. So when he got to his turn, so he got his plate out. So the lady in charge of the chicken gave him one piece. And then he looked at, can I have another piece? I'm really hungry. So the lady said, no, everybody have one piece. So then he asked a few times, and then he getting a bit upset. Then he start trying to throw his political weight around. He said, do you know who I am? He said, I am the governor of this state. And then the lady looked at her and said, do you know who I am? I'm in charge of the chicken. So move on, mister. So it doesn't matter if you're the governor or the senior pastor. I only get one piece of chicken. So I have to pay. So Pastor Norman, you haven't paid yet. But okay, I will pay $10. So I have to pay. Pastor, I have to pay. Newcomers don't have to pay in our church. So I noticed that some newcomers in our midst this morning. So please come to our barbecue. You can probably have more chicken than the senior pastor, and you don't have to pay. So we respect the authority. So when in the Old Testament, Saul was trying to kill David many times, he keep going after him. So David has all the right to defend himself. He had two opportunities to kill Saul, but he did not. First time, he had the chance to kill Paul. And I think he's all the right to kill his opponent, isn't it? I mean, Saul is trying to kill him. So it's a self-defense. But he did not, David. Just cut off a small piece from Saul's robe. And even after that, he felt sorry. Because the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master. The Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Even when Saul was trying to kill David, even David has all the right to defend himself and kill Saul, he did not, because Saul is the anointed one by the Lord. He respected the authority. Second time, God actually put Saul into sleep. They were all sleeping in the cave because the Lord had put them into deep sleep. So even the Lord is helping David. So David should be, if David is praying, so God answer, here, I put Saul and the soldiers into sleep. Now it's your chance to kill Saul. So even God think that it's okay because you're just self-defense. David said, today God had delivered your enemy into your hands. David saying to Abishua, his follower, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Abishua said that to David. Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't destroy him twice. But David said, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? That's how much David respect God's ordained authority. It's not the person, it's the authority. So we said, respect the uniform. It's not the person. When you respect the pastor, it's not the pastor. It is the ordained authority from God upon the pastor. When you stop by police on the road, police walk up to you and ask for your driver license. You don't listen to the police because he's good looking, he's handsome. Oh, it's a handsome police. So I listen to him. But look at the policeman and then a police woman. He or she is not good looking. Said, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't even like his face. No. You respect the police because of the authority that the government has given to them, not the person. We respect the pastor because they are God's ordained ministers. You respect somebody serving in the church, shopping in charge of snacks, because we given her the authority to in charge of the snacks. If she tells you to eat this, you eat this, and then only get one piece, you take one piece. You respect the authority. And then Peter move on, you respect your boss. That is the hard part. Servant, slave, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh, or NIV, unreasonable. Unreasonable boss. Study has shown that 60% of employees are more likely to suffer heart attack if their bosses have these traits. Incompetent, inconsiderate, secretive, uncommunicative. So if you've got a bad boss, you have 60% chance of getting heart attack. That's bad. That's bad for your health. But most of us do not have good boss, isn't it? I've been working in engineering in the business world for many years, and most of the time when we gather together, we always talk bad things about our boss. Very few people will actually say that our boss is really good. But I am one of the few exceptions. I find that all my bosses are really good. During my over 30 years of career in the business, I count that when I prepare this sermon, I count that I have about at least I have 8 different bosses at different time. And when I look back, all of them, I find that they are all good bosses. I respect them, not because they are. Sometimes I find that I think I can do a better job than them, him or she, her. But I respect. This is the authority. The company has given them the authority. I respect the authority, not necessarily the person. I work well with all my bosses, all my career. I never said anything bad about my boss. I even never said anything bad about the company I work for. I always tell people that the company I work for treated me well. All my bosses treated me well. I respect the authority because it's God's given authority. We have to respect the authority, be it the government, a church, your bosses. But God put you there for a purpose. You always say that, why God give us such a lousy, unreasonable boss? The scripture says, respect your boss, your master. Our boss is kind of like our master, isn't it? Even if they are harsh, unreasonable, God has a purpose in it. God's purpose is for us to glorify him, even in such challenging situations. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. When we submit to the respect, maybe the word respect is easier for us to accept. When we respect the authority ordained by God, as the Romans chapter 13 says, that all authorities, human authorities, are ordained by God. God put there for a reason. So that in this world of non-believers, people can see that we are different. People can see that we live a harmonious life. We work well with others, even though they're not Christians. We don't only behave well inside the church, but we behave well outside so that we can bring glory to God. And this is the will of God. 1 Peter 2, 15 and 21st. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 21 is even stronger. If you ask, one asks you, what is your calling? What's God's calling for you, to do? Well, this is your calling. For you have been called for this purpose. This is your calling to submit. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Even Christ, who is the King of Kings, Lord of all, above all, he submit to authorities. He submit also to God's authorities. This, then you will find favor. Verse 19. For this finds favor commendable. God like to see this. God will be happy. That's what it meant. If for the sake of conscience, child of God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Your boss may be unreasonable, horrible, but if you show respect, God's name will be glorified and God will be pleased. He'll be pleased. He'll be pleased because we are persecuted by our boss. No, he'll be pleased because you show that you are different. Jesus submits to his Father. Salvation was completed. There's power in submission. Submission is not a sign of weakness, but rather strength. When the wife submits to husband, respects the husband, the marriage will be blessed. Most of the broken marriages I've seen, because there's no harmony between the two. To the boss, when you submit to the boss, to church leaders, to government, within the parameters of God's teaching, God will be glorified. When you submit to authority, you are submitting to God. A person who do not submit to authority in church, at work, in the society, they also do not submit to the authority of God, because human authority is ordained by God. We need to learn submission. David submitted to earthly authority. He was given more authorities. He became the king. Daniel, he submitted to a secular, heathen, pagan government, kings. He was given more authority. Daniel, he was given the chance to serve five kings, and he did really well. He gained respect from the pagan people, government leaders. When you submit to God's authority, God will actually give you more authority. So that's why my title is The Power of Submission. Submission is not a sign of weakness, but of strength. It's easier to be disobedient than to submit, and sometimes suffer. But we submit because we want to bring glory to God. It is God's will. And most of the time, the main reason that we do not submit is because this self, ourself, we, just our people's nature, we do not like to submit to someone else's authority. We like to tell people what to do. We like to be the boss. At home, we like to tell people what to do. We want to rule over other people. Even in church, we like to object this, object that. Snack is no good. Why is this arranged this way? I'm not saying that you don't give your opinion, but when the opinion is given, you submit to the authority, because this authority is ordained by God, unless it's against the teaching of the Bible. We don't want to submit because we do not trust the authority is from God. Or we don't trust God. We trust ourselves. Our opinion is better, more correct. But God, if we trust that God is in control, even with all these happenings in the world, don't doubt that God is not in control. Even with what's happening in Europe, in the world, in our country, why is this happening? God allow it. God is still in control. Don't lose the faith and trust in Him. Person who do not submit to authority will be unhappy, because he is always fighting actually against himself inside. My conclusion is, unless the authority, the rules, the orders is against the Bible, we submit. Submission is the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get your own way. Submission is freedom. Submission is power. Submission is strength. Submission is trusting God. Unless, again, I always qualify, it is against the teaching of the Bible. Let us pray. Father, we want to submit ourselves to you this morning, that ourselves, we do not understand all the strange, crazy things that's happening in the world, in our society, at work, my workplace, and sometimes even at church. We do not understand, but we know that you are in control. That help us to submit to the authority that's ordained by you, allowed by you, within your teaching. Help us to put down ourselves, as always, most important, that our opinions is always right. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.